Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Have you ever heard the expression, a tough act to follow? Boy, if there was ever an individual who understood the meaning of those words, it was a young man that we meet in the Bible whose name was Joshua. Now, try to imagine standing in Joshua's sandals. Moses, who had been your mentor, the individual that God had used to move 2.5 to 5 million people through the wilderness, has now passed away. God took him home from the top of Mount Nebo, and now God was calling you to take his place. Oh, stop and think what must have been going through Joshua's mind. Oh, how can I possibly hold a candle to what Moses has done? You know, God spoke with Moses like a man speaks with his friend. Moses was the one God used to part the Red Sea. I mean, when Moses was doing his thing, there was manna that fell from heaven every day to feed people. And now I'm supposed to take these people into the promised land? Oh, man, talk about feeling flat out in over your head. But the good news is this. God knew exactly what was going through the heart and mind of Joshua. And as Joshua received the baton of faith passed along from Moses, as it was there in his hand, God spoke a remarkable series of promises to him. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You might want to underline those two words if you're looking at that in your Bible today. Good success. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, what God was saying to Joshua was this: yeah, Moses was used by me, but the same Lord that used Moses was going to be with Joshua. The same one that prospered and blessed and allowed Moses to persevere was going to give Joshua wisdom as he led the people into the promised land. And those things which God had set up for the people of Israel in their wilderness wandering were going to come to beautiful fruition as God moved through the heart of one faithful individual. God was going to give to Joshua good success. Oh, isn't that something we hunger for in life? You know, part and parcel of what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God is this need that we have, a non-negotiable need that will never go away, to know that our lives really count for something, that they really matter, that they've made a lasting impact. How can we enjoy that special kind of success? Not worldly success, but success as defined by the Word of God. Not success that necessarily will cause people to stand up and take notice, but the kind of success that will not only bring a smile to the face of God himself in heaven, but actually rattle the gates of hell themselves. Well, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, and moving into Proverbs chapter 23, as we continue our Wise Up series in the book of Proverbs, we're going to come across a section of Scripture that we could call Solomon's Secret of Success. And if there was an individual that did, I'd say, make a fair impact on this world, fair impact on your life and mine, a guy that was used to write a fairly major chunk of what we would call the Old Testament, it was certainly King Solomon. And Solomon, again, using that gift of wisdom that God gave to him. Remember, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask God for victory over his enemies. He didn't ask God for political fortune. He asked for wisdom. And God gave it to him in a very powerful way. Well, that wisdom of Solomon is going to guide us into three very important principles that can lead us to understand, first of all, what success looks like in the eyes of God. But even more importantly, how we can practically appropriate these principles and allow the Lord to make our lives lives of meaning, lives of purpose, lives of impact that not only are going to be a blessing to us personally, but catch this, are going to cause us to discover how God himself can use us, little old us, to bless people's lives in a way that their lives are impacted not just for time, but also for eternity. Oh, let's pray this morning and ask the Lord to speak to us on this crucial issue. And if you feel a little shaky in life, you feel a little lost in this life, you wonder sometimes if you're really going to leave an impact when it's all said and done. Some exciting principles ahead from God's Word that can guide us and direct us to that beautiful destination today. Lord, thank you that your Word contains everything we need for life and godliness. And Lord, life is far more than just breathing or eating or surviving or living for the weekend. Lord, you've come to give us life and life more abundantly. And part and parcel of that abundant life, Lord, is a life that really matters, a life that really makes an impact. So Father, show us what it means that you really do love us and have a wonderful purpose for our lives. Allow us to discover not only just what that purpose is, but how to align ourselves with that great purpose, to make ourselves as usable by you as we can possibly be. Thank you, Lord, for this exciting trip through your word we're about to embark on. Speak to us now through your spirit, we ask, as your word goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29 says this. If you're not familiar with Proverbs, Proverbs, as we have seen, are these truth bombs that King Solomon lays out for us. In the section that of Proverbs that we're in, many of the Proverbs are just like two-liners, you know, where there'll be contrasts or observations about how to make the most out of life, how to be wise, that is, how to live your life in light of the fact that God is a part of it. But as we've gotten into this section of Proverbs, the Proverbs start to expand a little bit. Proverbs starts to go a little bit more HDTV on us than just, you know, those quick bits here. And one of these kind of HDTV Proverbs that is so powerful is found in Proverbs 22 and verse 29. That's where we picked things up this morning. Solomon writing there said, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." Now, you don't have to be a seminary grad to take a look at this and say, yeah, this does seem to be describing an individual who is successful, an individual who is promoted, an individual who started out in obscurity but ends up in a place of notoriety in life. Now let's take a look at exactly how this person climbed that ladder of success from Solomon's point of view. Notice he says this, "Do you see a man who excels in his work?" First thing I call to your attention in this passage is a very interesting word you can almost jump over if you read this too quickly. Do you see a man who excels in his work? First thing we need to understand about success and the pathway to success, what good success is from the definition that we see God promising in the book of Joshua is this. The first thing you understand about good success is this. Good success is perceptible. It's something that you can observe going on in a life. It's not just something that exists, for instance, in the lips of a person. It's not just something that exists in the emotions of a person. You know, it's been said that the highway to HE double hockey sticks is paved with good intentions. Sometimes it's been kind of blacktopped, if you will, with high and lofty sounding words and promises and declarations that somehow never quite get followed up on. But good success, understand something, is not just something that you hear, it's something that you see. Do you see a man who excels in his work? Well, you know, that's essentially how God looks at our Christian life, isn't it? God isn't just interested in us, say, having an emotional experience and call it our Christian life. God isn't interested in us just mouthing words and platitudes. God isn't interested in us just signing on the line on, say, some doctrinal statement in a church and say, I'm into being a Christian the way some people are into being Republicans or Democrats. No, you only understand God's word when it starts to show up within your life. You know, in the book of James, we are told that this is the absolute essential as far as what real faith is all about. Real faith is not something that you have to tell other people about. Real faith is something that people see. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, we read this, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." But catch this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." You know, if we were to do a survey here this morning, and I were to ask you, why did you come to church? What did you hope to get out of it? You know, we could probably get a number of different responses, but if we were going to put it all together under one roof, let's face it, we came here because we wanted to be blessed, right? We wanted to experience the favor of God on our lives, and hopefully we'll learn a thing or two in this process about how to invite the Lord to be more and more a part of our lives, how to align our lives with His good, acceptable, and perfect will. We want to be blessed, right? You want to be blessed in what you do? Here's your pathway. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be an effectual doer, the one who abides, who continues in it, not a forgetful hearer, a doer of the work. He'll be blessed in what he does. Why? Because it's going to stick with you. If you put into practice what you hear today, it's going to stick with you. Have you ever had a case of spiritual amnesia coming out of church? You know what I'm talking about. You go to church on Sunday, you hear this message, oh man, you know, Lord really stirs up your heart, and then on Monday someone comes up and says, "Hey, I heard you're in church on Sunday, what did the pastor talk about?" And you're like, I think it was something about the Bible, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I hope it was something about the Bible. But you ever wonder why it doesn't stick? You ever wonder why we kind of, because we didn't put into practice, you see. You know, take the Calvary Christian Fellowship Challenge this morning. Before you get done with this service today, before you leave these double doors, ask the Lord to give you somewhere in our study of God's Word just one thing that you're going to apply before the sun goes down today. If you apply that truth in your life, I guarantee it's going to stick with you. You're going to own it. God's going to write it on your heart. You just file in the way, another sermon in there. I'm sure, you know, someday when I stand before the Lord, and did you suffer me? Oh, I sat through all the sermons, didn't I? You know, God's got something far greater for you than that. So the first thing we need to understand about good success from God's point of view, a life that really matters, is that it's observable. God makes a decided and discernible difference within your life, and other people see it. Other people are able to see the difference that God is making in your life. Now notice he says, do you see a man who excels in his work? The word excel there is a really interesting word in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word mahir. It literally means to be quick, to be prompt, to do something rapidly. Now different scholars have different ideas about why this is should be translated excellent. Well, let's face it. You know, if someone's doing an excellent job, they can usually get that job done rather quickly, can't they? They don't waste time. Some scholars indicate that this is the idea of someone not only promising to do something, but delivering it when they promise to do it. Now, for those of you who've ever been a part of, say, having your houses remodeled or things like this, you know that promises about when something's going to get done and when it actually happens can be two different things. But if you want to be number one in the Better Business Bureau, you want to have great reviews on Yelp and so forth, here's what you do. Deliver what you promised. You know, I'll tell you, I am far more impressed with people who under-promise and over-deliver than people who over-promise and under-deliver, right? You know, they say, oh, yeah, to get the job, I'm going to have it done by next Tuesday. I said, next Tuesday in what century sometimes? But the idea of someone who's excellent in their work is someone who gets the job done, who gets it done promptly, who gets it done on time. And let's face it, if you do that consistently, you will stand out like a sore thumb, especially in our day and age. But this idea of being quick not only carries the idea of someone who is able to do a job and do it rapidly and do it promptly. Other scholars believe that this idea of being quick carries the idea, we would use the phrase in English, of being a quick study. Someone who doesn't have to have something told them 10 times before they get it, right? Someone that just picks up on things and runs with it. Someone that doesn't need constant supervision to make sure they're not going to mess up. Well, you know, here at Calvary Christian Fellowship, you know, sometimes people will say, you know, I don't like organized religion. I say, well, come on down. We're not organized at all. So, but there does have to be, you know, a bit of a structure, a bit of a management style here. And our management style is pretty simple. You know, if we put somebody on staff, it's because they've distinguished themselves as someone that God has used here in the body. You know, after a while, they just were so used by God through their own initiative and their own gifts. We're not that quick on the uptake, but sooner or later, we recognize that, and we want to free these people to be able to devote more time to the ministry. Well, because of that, our management style is this. There's one of two ways you can manage people, and that is this. Hire people that you don't trust and micromanage them. Okay, you got to fill out, you know, form every day about what you did this hour, and every 15 minutes you got to tell me what you're doing. That's one way to go about things. The other school of thought, which I subscribe to, is you hire people you trust and you give them the latitude to be able to do their job. You know, let's face it, that's giving people a lot of rope to run with. Some people will run with it and other people will hang themselves with it when it's all said and done. This idea of being quick is this idea of someone that picks up on what's necessary, someone who picks up on what needs to be done, doesn't just do the minimum, you understand. Isn't one of those close enough for government work kind of people, but someone who's a quick study, who sees the big picture and is able to make a positive contribution to what's going on. A person like that is a person of excellence. They're not just a person of words, they're a person whose deeds match their declarations. Now, notice what the payoff of all this is. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Now, what this is saying is this. If you want to get ahead in this world, if you want to be recognized, in a sense, by the powers that be, focus on faithfulness in what you are called to do in the here and now. If you decide you're going to be the best person you can be in whatever kind of occupation God has given to you, right where you're at, then God is able to take that faithfulness and promote it. But it's got to start with faithfulness in small things. You know, we think about the tremendous success stories that we see in the Bible. Joseph, remember the story of Joseph, how Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt, and because of his wisdom, he saved Egypt from famine, and because he was so wise and able to discern the dreams of Pharaoh, he was able to literally save the entire world, including the fledgling nation of Israel from starvation when this huge famine hit. But where did Joseph begin? Joseph began when his dad asked him to check up on his brothers who were watching the sheep. And notice something about that story, if you're familiar with it. He said, go down to Dothan where your brothers are and check up on them. He goes to Dothan, the brothers aren't there. So he keeps looking for them. You know, he doesn't go, well, Dad told me to go to Dothan. I went to Dothan, I'm done. I did what I was asked to do. No, we are told that he searched for them until he found them. Now, his reward for doing that was getting thrown in a pit and sold into slavery, but that's another story. But it was that character, you see, of Joseph that made him so usable. It was faithfulness in small things that prepared him to be used in larger things. And when you study the story of Joseph, I encourage you to read through it in the book of Genesis. You see how God put him in situation after situation after situation. And because he was consistently faithful, he found himself standing before the Pharaoh of Egypt. Sometimes that's quite literal. You say, well, Scott, that's nice for Joseph and it's nice for Bible people, but I don't think I'm going to stand before the Pharaoh of Egypt anytime soon. You're telling me that if I'm faithful with my Joe job, my 9-to-5, that someday the Queen of England's going to come and ask me to sit down and offer my takes on things? I'm going to get invited to the White House? Is that what this is saying? Well, you never know. God's got a tremendous sense of humor. He loves using people in mind-blowing ways. You can never tell what the Lord's going to do. But chances are, those of you who are sitting within the sound of my voice right now, you know, we're not going to stand before earthly kings, but you will stand before a king someday. Do you realize that? You realize that if you are faithful in little things, you will stand before the King of Kings someday and give an account of your life. Boy, you know, there's a fascinating passage that shows us just what a powerful thing this is. It's found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writing there said this, "Therefore we make it our aim," verse 9, "whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, there's a kind of a double-edged sword passage for you. Here's the good news. You're going to see Jesus someday. But guess what? Here's the other disconcerting news. He's going to reward you for what you've done in the body. That is what you've done with this life, whether good or bad. Now, I know some of you out there are going, oh, wait a minute, Scott. I thought, you know, when I prayed and I invited Jesus into my life, he forgave my sins. He removed them as far away from me as the east is from the west, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ. You know, what you're saying almost sounds like it's one of those situations where, you know, the Lord's going to look at you and say, oh, well, here you are. Let's go to the video here. Oh, man, who let you in? Pull the crank down to H-E double hockey sticks with you. No, that's not what this passage is teaching. The word judgment seat there is a very interesting word in the original language. It is the Greek word bema, and it doesn't refer to standing before a judge in court. What it refers to is standing before a judge in the ancient Olympic Games that would go on during the time that Paul was writing here. You know, when you stand before a judge, you're not, you know, going to a judge after you say you run your race, you know, for the judge to say, well, I think you're a good person or a bad person. No, you go and stand before that judge. Guess what? Because he's got a reward for you. In the ancient Olympic Games, they give you a laurel wreath. You know, when you got that laurel wreath, you know, you go, well, just a piece of shrubbery, right? But what a piece of shrubbery. What that meant to those who won in those games, who got the laurel wreath, was first of all, you would never have to pay taxes ever again. Boy, this time of year, doesn't that sound like a little slice of heaven? Secondly, when you'd receive that laurel wreath, you would be paid a salary by the government as a basis for the rest of your life just because you ran that race. It would literally be the gift that keeps on giving. How interesting that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and not receive an Olympic gold medal, not receive a laurel wreath, not just receive exemption from taxes, but the gift of everlasting life.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661. 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you. Glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.